Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Lisa St. Aubin de Turan about her amazing life and career. She's a prize-winning author of 20 books, including novels, short stories and non-fiction. In her new memoir, Better Broken Than New, Lisa puts the shattered pieces of her life back together. While her life has been said to be stranger than fiction, it is fiction that has kept her afloat. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's great to have you. Thank you for joining us. So how was it for you writing this book, kind of going through, looking back at your fascinating life?
Well, it was actually quite cathartic because, as anybody who reads the book will know, I've had a fairly chaotic life, but I found it quite calming to be able to put it all down the way it was, as opposed to often the way people imagine it has been or write about how it has been. So also just nice to get it down,
yeah,
truthfully.
Absolutely. So when did the chaos start, as it were?
Really quite early on, because I come from a fairly chaotic family. So, I had an unusual upbringing. My mother had been married 4 times and then brought us up in an unorthodox way. So from early on.
What do you mean by unorthodox?
Well, yes, I mean that I played truant for almost every single day of my school days and got away with it. So that's fairly unorthodox.
And what happened when you were 16?
I was benignly stalked by a Venezuelan landowner who was a political exile living in London, and ended up marrying him with an interpreter, because he didn't speak English and I didn't speak Spanish.
Wow. And how does something like that happen when you look back on that experience? Are you kind of...
I think if you're very, very stupid and naive, which I was.
Oh, and what was your life like with him then?
Different. So I went, after 2 years of traveling around in Spain, not Spain, you're in Spain. I traveled in Italy and France. He was a political exile and he was with a group of friends who were sort of on the run from Interpol. So we tagged along in a strange way there. And then he got so homesick, he just said, I want to go back to my hacienda. He had a sugar plantation in the Venezuelan Andes. He'd been in his family for 400 years and he was pining for it. So he took me back there. And I spent the next 7 years as a sugar farmer.
Wow. And what was that like?
I absolutely loved the hacienda. My husband, Jaime, and I didn't have a close relationship, not least because he was schizophrenic and often there, but not there. And I longed to be able to stay on the hacienda, but it wasn't really safe or viable to do it. And I left it with great regret. To this day, I still love the hacienda.
Yeah. So where did you go next?
I went to London, which is where I was born and brought up. And then after that, I moved to Italy. When I started publishing, I moved to Italy and spent 20 years living in Italy. And more recently, 20 years living in Mozambique in Africa.
Yes. So before we go to Mozambique, just tell us about your time in Italy, can you?
Yes, I lived for a time on the Italian Riviera and then moved to Venice and found that quite difficult with children. Living in Venice is actually not as easy as one might imagine, because it's just full of tourists and you can't even get out and buy a loaf of bread. So we went to buy a little summer cottage with Venetian, said, that's what we do. But I fell in love with an enormous roofless ruin in Umbria, and we bought that. And then it was so big and difficult to handle, we moved down to that sort of Umbrian palace and spent the next nearly 20 years restoring it and living there and having a fabulous time, actually.
Oh, nice. So what would take you from this idyllic place in Italy to Mozambique?
Well, I had been pretty successful with my books and I didn't ever write with the idea of making money. So I always felt slightly uneasy about making money from something that I loved and felt shouldn't be about that. And I told myself, when I get to be 50, I'm going to pay some of this back. And I'm mixed race. I've got African roots, which were completely unexplored. And I told myself, when I'm 50, I'm going to go to Africa, set up a small foundation, and, you know, just try and do some good and pay back some of this good fortune I've had. So that's what my motivation.
And why Mozambique particularly? Because that's not where your heritage is it?
Yeah, that was a particularly disloyal move on my part, because I met this Dutch filmmaker who was going to build a barefoot luxury hotel in Mozambique. And almost overnight, I transferred my allegiance from Mali, where I was going to go and set up some libraries, and just shifted to Mozambique just like that.
And what is Mozambique like? I mean, I imagine it's quite a culture shock to other places you've been in.
It is, but it's absolutely lovely. And I've been living in the north of Mozambique, near Mozambique Island, which is a 1,000-year-old UNESCO World Heritage Island with amazing architecture and fusion cuisine and culture. Not at all what I imagined Africa would be like. It's absolutely lovely. Beautiful beaches, incredibly hospitable people from the Makua group, who are very little known, but there's millions of them. And really, really lovely place to live and to have one's family.
Yeah, amazing. Because it's not exactly a popular tourist destination, is it? You know, when people go to Africa, different countries in Africa for safaris and things like that, Mozambique isn't a country that kind of pops up. Do you see that changing? Is there a reason for that?
I see it changing a bit. It's a reason, because it had a civil war for about 16 years until 1992 and was desperately poor and didn't have any roads or airplanes or anything. So, you know, that didn't happen. But whenever I've travelled, I've always thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have been here 30 years ago, you know, to have got here before all the tourists came. And that's how it's been in Mozambique, because we got there when it was completely unspoiled, and it's still so unspoiled, and the beaches are still virgin beaches, and it's not, you know, the air isn't contaminated. It's been too poor for food to be contaminated. People don't put any fertilizers or insecticides, and they can't afford it. So everything is organic and lovely and unspoiled.
Oh, nice. And tell us about the charity you set up there.
Okay, I set up in 2004, my family and I set up Turan Foundation, which is a charity to help local communities to help themselves. And we set up a college of tourism to give skills and training to local fishermen and their families to be able to work in tourism, because there wasn't any tourism, so people didn't really get what that was about. And that was quite difficult to persuade people that someone would actually pay to go and sleep not in their own house and eat food that wasn't prepared by their family. But, you know, there's a lot of jobs available for the future, and nursery schools and a few primary schools. A lot of health things like anti-malaria and anti-AIDS projects, and been busy.
Yeah, amazing. So do you think you'll stay there?
Well, yes, I'm dividing my time. My eldest daughter, Isel, lives in Mozambique with her youngest child, and she is working now on a lot of different projects, including peace projects, and working with volunteers from all over the world to get her projects going. And I help her a lot more than do my own things. I help her. And I don't think I'll ever leave it completely, because I love it. But yeah, I also spend time in Europe now.
Fabulous. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Better Broken Than New, and it's by Lisa St. Aubin de Turan, who we've been chatting with today. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to chat with you.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.